Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Legendary Kiss band member Gene Simmons, the backbone of Kiss, is in here for a very revealing one-on-one. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Gene Simmons' birthday cocktail party for August 25th. Let's see who's invited. Legendary conductor and composer Leonard Bernstein. Former governor of Alabama, segregationist George Wallace. Sean Connery joined the party. Tom Skerritt is here. From Judas Priest, Rob Halford. From Asia, Jeff Downs. Elvis Costello. Film director Tim Burton is here. So is Billy Ray Cyrus. From Wilco, Jeff Tweedy. Claudia Schiffer. And the first Tsar of Russia, Ivan the Terrible. Gene Simmons is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Gene is in studio. Kiss End of the Road World Tour coming up. Dates all over the U.S.
And the world.
And the world. Yeah. And you can go to kissonline.com to get those tickets. And this will be it. This will be the last time we can see Kiss live.
Uncle Adam, there comes a time. All things must pass. Still have hair on my head, much more on my back. But at some point, you've got to stop. You know, we've all seen bands on stage a little too long.
Well, I think people will be willing to see Kiss as long as Kiss is willing to perform. But I understand it. I mean, you're 72.
72.
You don't look it. I had a weird thought. I forgot you were Hungarian.
I can speak Hungarian.
Oh, you can?
And German and Hebrew and English.
Well, do a little Hungarian for us, because it's the wackiest sounding language ever. It's not really, you know, when you hear Spanish and you kind of connect it to Italian
Hungarian has no connection to any Romance languages at all. People think it sounds Finnish, but it's not. In Finnish, if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, uksi, kaksi, kolme, that's 1, 2, 3. In Hungarian, it's egy, kettő, három, which sounds nothing like it. So a Hungarian... Anyukám szület Magyarországból, azért én tudok beszélni magyarul. De Budapest, van Buda, és azután van Pest. És azért hívják Budapest.
You've brought me back to my childhood.
You speak?
No, my grandfather, Laszlo Gorog, would live in a little house in North Hollywood. His sister, Bougie, would come to visit. And her son, Gabi.
That's very Hungarian.
And they would have discussions in Hungarian, and it was sort of, I couldn't pick out one word. You know, it wasn't connected to anything. But Bougie baked. She baked a lot. And my grandfather cooked a lot, and he made the goulash and the chicken paprikash and the no kettle and all the stuff. And I'm addicted to it to this day.
And it's good food. Poor people food, Irish stews, goulashes. You take a big pot, throw whatever you can in there. If it lived, kill it, stick it in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best food as far as I'm concerned. And they're peculiar, the Hungarians. You know, they're remnants of the Mongol invasion. They were the Tatars, the Huns, the Mongols, and the Magyars. And the Magyars, part of the Huns, settled in what the Hungarians call Magyarország, the land of the Magyars. So they look different. Like, I don't look Slavic, but next to us, surrounded are people who are sort of blonder and so on. But if you want to curse in Hungarian, it's the most peculiar thing. Here, I'm going to give you a sense.
What are you going to say to me?
Osta Christu Slova. That means, oh, that must be Christ's horse. Wait, there's more. Asta anyad istenit. That's probably your God.
Wow.
That's this. Asta kutyafayat. That's the pain of the dog.
So here's something I'm curious about, and it all just dawned on me when you sat down. I forgot.
By the way, your cookie's good. Somebody told me I had to eat your cookie when I came in, but I didn't know they meant literally.
Yes, we have Adam Carolla Show cookies.
Because, Adam, these are semantics, but I'm not anti-semantic.
I like it. I will. Okay, you just told a joke. Fine.
That was not a joke. That was like real English.
But let me say, this is going to dovetail very nicely to my point.
Yeah.
My grandfather, Laszlo, Lotzi.
Lajos.
Yes.
Larry.
Oh, is it Larry? Yeah.
Well, there are different versions.
He would regale us with stories all night. And when I'd sleep, I was very close with him. I'd sleep at his house quite often. And he would tell me bedtime stories all the time. But they weren't Hansel and Gretel, and it weren't the Three Big Bad Wolves. There were stories he made up. He was a storyteller. He was a writer. He wrote plays and things of that nature.
Really?
Yeah. And he talked, but he's like you in that he wasn't a comedian, but he liked clever sayings, and he liked sort of word plays. And he, you know, older, later in his life, he came up with this whole thing about, you know, basically Mexican food that was, that would be Jewish food or deli food, you know, and he'd say like, you know, enchilada, you know, crepes or something.
Kreplach
enchilada or whatever. He was like, he was always immune. And then somebody told me later on, like after he died, they said, you know, Hungarians are renowned storytellers. They're very verbal people. And I wonder how much of that's in your DNA, because rock and roll guys aren't that funny sometimes, not big storytellers, not big
talkers.
No, rock
and roll guys are generally losers, hardly qualified to do what we do. If it wasn't for the guitars around our necks, we'd be asking the next person in line, would you like some fries with that? I mean,
right.
Let's call it for what it is. Between the drugs and the alcohol, you know, all the self-effacing stuff. No, not so much. I have never been high or drunk and never smoked cigarettes, so maybe that's why I can get through a paragraph and a sentence without going, sounding like Beavis and Butthead.
But I do think you're loquacious and you're...
Now, that's a big word like gymnasium. That's big.
And I think your history of Hungarian... And Jews, right? Jewish.
Israeli, yeah.
Yeah, Jews, Hungarians, they're all, my grandfather was Jewish. They talk. They like to converse.
Well, it's the pen is mightier than the sword, and Pulitzer was a Hungarian Jew.
Was he?
Yeah, the Pulitzer Prize and all that, yeah.
Did not know that.
So, but the glory days of Hungary and Austria together was the Austro-Hungarian Empire that begat the waltz and the thing. It was a glorious time, and it was very open to people's different religious beliefs. A very good time. Franz Josef was the emperor, and that was around 1870, thereabouts. Would have been nice to be there.
Did you go, when you moved to Israel, you were 5 years old or very
young? No, I was
young?
Born there. I had no
say. Oh, you were born there.
No say in the matter.
Oh, really? And I know we talked about, you know, hard scrabble, just very poor ways you tried to make money. Do you think that was sort of early training for your entrepreneurship?
Well, there's no question that some of the pieces of the puzzle of who and what you are and I am and so on is based on what went before. My mother raised me on her own. I'm an only child for my mother. My father shamefully ran out on us when I was about 6 or 7, but that's hardly unique. Shamefully, many families, fathers abscond. So when I grew up in Israel, those first few years, it was nothing. There was no infrastructure, no roads, So you had to figure it out for yourself. And that was great training coming to America. There were no allowances. An allowance for doing what?
Right.
So when I came to America, I saw the land of opportunity. You bet. I'm smarter than these guys. They're going to work for me.
Your dad, he ever try to circle back and get in touch with you?
I have never. Once he left us, I never actually spoke to him, although he kept sending letters. I did feel I owed him an ethical return, which is
he was sending letters to Israel?
I was not. He sent me letters in America with my mother.
And he was back in Israel?
Yes, he never left. But I supported him until the day he died, bought him a place to live, spent money and all that, plus his other children from other marriages.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
It's a fair trade. You know, you give me life. You were there, so I can afford it, and so why not make your life better? It doesn't mean I want to hang out and have a social relationship. I probably had a lot of pent-up, finger-pointing and all that. Of course, it was a different time. Right after World War II, it's difficult for anybody to make heads or tails of what life is, what's happiness. Jobs were hard to find. The world was lost. And I wasn't there. You know, I grew up, I had a piece of bread and jam. That's all I cared about.
You started hitting it early and often when you moved to the United States in terms of the band. And the band was formed when you were still pretty young, right?
I was two.
No, but I saw the whole biography, the Kiss story.
We started in 1973 or so. And decided to put together the band we never saw on stage. And it was a sort of a Rorschach test of what are we going to do to stand out? Mm-hmm. Wear more makeup, higher heels, more is a better, louder. I'll never forget the first ad for Black Sabbath. It was in Rolling Stone. And they were all being, Led Zeppelin was a limp blimp, of course, from Rolling Stone, the geniuses.
Right.
And I'll never forget this ad. It said,
that's where they got their name, right?
No, Black Sabbath, louder than Led Zeppelin. I thought that's the coolest thing I ever heard. Doesn't mean it's better. It's just louder, more. Mm-hmm. And so that was the idea, not that Black Sabbath was the reference point, but the idea of Kiss was to do more on stage and don't worry about the rules. So we continue to be, you know, very strange forms of life. I walk around with dragon boots. I burp while I'm doing Adam Carolla interviews. I spit fire.
Blood.
When it's that time of the month, Adam. And well, there's no reference point to that. You know, what are your influences? I don't know. It was just sort of when kids play in a mud pile and they start making this stuff up. And maybe that's the most honest thing about, at least what I do, which is I didn't have reference point. Let's see, who's my favorite blood spitter? That's my
right thing.
No, so who's my fire spitter? Nope, not in bands. And it was had to do with a lot of what I was lacking, which was I'd go to see the Love and Spoonful, one of my favorite bands, Sly and the Family Stone, all that stuff when I was growing up and loved the music. But you could have closed your eyes. Come on. Mm-hmm. There was nothing going on stage until a band like The Who, and you'd have to wait until the end when Pete would start breaking the guitars and all that. And so why not put together a band with people who believed in the same idea that as soon as they introduce the band, chaos, all hell breaks loose. Sure enough, you wanted the best. And we have to be jackasses or delusional. Listen to the words. You wanted the best. You got the best. The hottest band in the world, mofo or bitch, Kiss. And that was the gauntlet. You toss it down. And even before the first chord hits it, fire pods and flash pods and fireballs. Now everybody does it. You watch American Idol and stuff, fireballs. Where'd they get that? Air Supply?
I'm all out of love. What am I without you?
I distinctly heard the word Jew.
Without Jew.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Jews, Israel. What? Why? It's. I don't want to go too political here.
You can.
I I have an experience with Jews, which is I'm not a Jew, and my grandfather...
But you worship one.
Yes. Thank you. Gene Simmons, everybody.
Very good.
I grew up... So I went to North Hollywood High, and North Hollywood High had a bunch of Gentiles like me, and there were fuck-ups from the valleys.
By the way, people think Gentiles is a bad word. It is not.
No.
It simply says you're not Jewish.
Not Jewish. And their parents were all divorced, and everyone smoked and drank, and everything was a fucking shit show, and everyone lived in a bad apartment. And then I had all my Jewish friends from up in the Hebrew Heights up there in Studio City.
Hebrew Heights.
That's what the hills of Studio City were called.
Because they came from Hebron. That's why they're called Hebrew. But back to you, Adam.
Their parents were married. The kids were taken care of. They got good grades. And when we graduated high school, we all went to a construction site, and they went to Stanford and Berkeley. And I also saw the way my grandfather conducted himself. He wasn't my biological grandfather, but he cooked, he took care of everyone, he was loving, and everyone else was just a all-for-them shit show. And I started to appreciate Jews, you know? It was started to get built into me. And then I see Israel, and I'm like, I don't need to know all the nuts and bolts. I feel like they're the sane people in the region, and they need to be supported. And then I hear so many people taking a stand against, you know, divesting and all that kind of bullshit. And I'm like, first off, compared to who in that region? And why is Israel need to be divested from?
Compared to the rest of the world, Israel has more patents, inventions and so on than any country on the face of the planet other than America and maybe one more. Cell phone, the technology was invented in Haifa, Motorola Haifa. Star Wars technology, that's all Israel. It is a very small country. There are more people. First of all, Jews are very bizarre. There are more men, women, and children living in Guadalajara, which is a city in Mexico, then there are Jews on the entire planet. There's about 18 million in Guadalajara. There are 14.5 million Jews on the entire planet. And yet, do you have a lawyer?
Yes.
What's his name?
Mark Garagos.
Garagos. Well, he's not, but...
Is that a Jew?
I know of him.
Mel Schmeckelstein.
Of course.
Is that what you're looking for?
Well, if you had an accountant or lawyer or thing.
Well, Garagos could be Jewish.
No, I think, I think Greek Orthodox.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, he's more a neighbor than an attorney.
Not common, but generally, you know, on the other hand, name a Jewish basketball player. Not so much, but they own the teams.
Yeah, so when you hear about the squad and many of these members of Congress and senators and stuff sort of going after Israel all the time.
I think, but I go,
what's motivating
it? But it's nothing new. It's historical, and part of it, there's this Jewish cabal, this thing about the Illuminati and the Jews control it. I think it's suspicious to people when they see so many, well, for instance, at the Nobel Peace Prize. For one thing, Pulitzer was a Hungarian Jew, so that's suspicious. Wait a minute, he won the Nobel, but he's Jewish. Yeah, so the Nobel Peace Prizes are per capita dominated by Jews in economics and all this kind of stuff. So it is suspicious when you go to the law schools that just... They're churning it out. And part and parcel of that is culture. It's what your culture dictates. And the rest is just goddamn hard work.
Yes.
Nobody is born a lawyer or a doctor or any of that stuff. You got to put in 12 years. That's after you graduate high school to get that. So when I see somebody with an MD or a lawyer degree and stuff, tip your hat. Here's a person who works harder than you do. No, that's not the way it goes. That guy, he's a Jewish lawyer. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. He worked 12 years for it. By the way, you know how we know Jesus was Jewish? Well, a factoid. He lived with his mother until he was 33 years old. He actually thought his mother was a virgin. That's something. His mother thought he was God. That's another thing. And then he goes into his father's business. That's a Jew.
See, Mona was telling me about the Hungarians and their ability to tell stories and jokes. I think that's just
reared
its ugly head.
You know why all the chicks love Jesus?
Hmm.
Well, he's hung like this.
Gene told me a joke.
Oh, he's laughing.
Gene told me a joke off the air.
Yul Gibbons is laughing. Come on.
That he might repeat. God, it's a deep dive, Yul Gibbons. Yul Gibbons is a guy for the Grape Nuts commercial.
That's
right. Many parts of the pine cone are edible.
That's right.
I was like, shut up, douche. My mom's listening. She's fucking feeding us pine cones.
Well, he was an environmentalist before people knew what that was.
Yeah. And there's a lot of shots of him forging through the forest, looking for shit to eat.
Because that's what you want to do, is to be out there where there are bears. No, I don't want to.
It was an interesting conceit, which is, this guy's forging, but we have a Gelson's up the street.
Right there.
Why are we listening to him?
I hate nature. I don't like not being able to control rain. It's like it rains. It's like, turn off the nozzle. I don't want it to be wet. I like showers. It's too cold. Nature doesn't care.
Do a lot of camping.
Jews camping. It sounds wrong.
That's true. That's
it just
right.
Doesn't sound. Skiing Jews. It just sounds wrong.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
But
it's uncomfortable. So doing things that are uncomfortable is not very Jewish.
Well, you know what I said? I haven't said it in a while, but
I'm good looking.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying. What I'm saying is Jews are funny. They're sort of conservative in that. They're not thrill seekers. It's not like Jew Evel Knievel.
No.
But they eat like Evel Knievel. They eat tongues and
well, there's Chinese food. Hmm. Chinese food is the most popular Jewish food.
Right. But when my grandfather would eat tongue a lot.
Don't do that, yeah.
And had a real hang. His greatest lament is that he couldn't get a goose liver in North Hollywood.
That's true. But it's poor people food. When you're coming from countries that basically tried to wipe out the people, the entire population, having meat was a premium.
Did your mom cook Hungarian like back in the early days?
I loved my mom till the very end. She lived to be 94. She was in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany at age 14.
In Germany?
Yeah, right outside. Mm-hmm. You know, they had camps in Poland.
Yeah, Poland.
So
yeah. I didn't even. Did they have them in Germany?
Very few. There were
two.
Mauthausen, I think.
Yeah. So Bougie, older sister, had the same thing. My grandfather got the fuck out of Hungary in like 39 or something.
And little known fact is the Hungarians had the black shirts, the fascists, who lined up Jews by the Danube, the Duna, as they call. And they killed him, tossed him in the... Yeah.
So your mom was in a concentration camp.
When she was 14. But in terms of house stuff, she was working all her life. Once my father left, she was mom and dad and cook, bottle washer, all of it.
How do you think you would have turned out? What would have been different if your dad was there and loving and sort of taking care of business? What do you think?
I don't think as well, because I firmly believe and call it delusional that to have a matriarchal figure is beneficial. I know you've got to have a male presence and all that, but through my mother's eyes, I understood, and her words are true, every day above ground is a good day. What you and I complain about, the traffic jam, and the first thing I said to you when I walked in is, where are we? We're on the border and all that nonsense. It means nothing. From my mother's perspective, there's nothing to complain about. I'll give you a quick, when we first came to America, I couldn't speak a word of English. And in those early days in the late 50s, 1850s, see what I did there? Mm-hmm. Television would go off the air by about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock midnight.
Mm-hmm.
We had three or four channels. That's it. And then you'd see the and you'd hear the black and white kind of thing, and it goes off the air.
It's at the beginning of a Billy Joel song.
Yes, I know. That's right. That's right.
You got to figure out which one, Chris. It's early Billy Joel. You guys can figure it out, but it's the sign-off.
Right after he broke up the Hassles. And then right before that happened, television stations would play. Mm-hmm. And you'd see the billowing flag back and forth. And my mother would let me stay up because next day I'd have to get up early and all that. 6 days a week, yeshiva.
Went wow.
to regular English stuff and then Bible stuff. And I'd want to talk to my mother, and she would say, shh, 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 shh. While that song was playing and the flag was billowing, my mother would watch television and she would tear up. And I didn't understand why my mother was crying. And I still get choked up. It wasn't until years later that I understood, yeah, she finally was in a country where people weren't trying to kill her and her family. And even though we were living in like a ghetto, $37 a month rent, she was making maybe $100 a week. You barely survive, but nobody's trying to kill you. It's, you know, I've heard televangelists and other people, but they're right. It's a blessed country. They're right. God bless America. You bet your ass.
Well, also, what you have is perspective, because you've seen what it's like to live yeah. a certain way. And, I tell people all the time, and they go, what are you working so much for? You're doing this, you're doing that. I don't.
I used to work.
I used to be on a roof. I used to scrape asphalt shingles and crawl underneath crawl spaces and dig footings with a sawed-off shovel. That's work.
What do they want you to do?
Take it easy, relax. You know, why are you always going
and
somewhere?
And do what? Wait to die? Any doctor will tell you that as long as you're sitting still, you're contributing slowly to a slow death. Your heart, the valves don't work as well. Your heart slows down, and then eventually you die. You gotta keep moving. Your brain's gotta work. Chase the girls. Get good food. Run out there and do stuff.
Work is good. I completely agree. But your mom had perspective. You got perspective. I feel like so many people in this country don't get that perspective. They're just like, we're built on slavery, and the founding fathers were all horrible, and they have no perspective. They don't know what it's like in the rest of the world.
History may be true, and that's right. The white European people were really bad people. Some of the Arabs also enslaved people and did that. We tried almost completely got rid of the American Indian population. Just really horrible stuff. But you want perspective right here and now? Ukraine. Here are a people who did nothing to anybody, and all of a sudden the big bad bear crosses and starts killing people. By the way, it's at a standstill. They've been shamed, and the Russians were just chased out of outside of Kyiv. It's at a standstill. You want perspective? There are people who are living and dying in Ukraine right now, and we're just complaining about the traffic jam here.
I saw you on TMZ a week or so ago talking about Kanye West. They kind of made a deal out of it, but they didn't really throw you under the bus. They said, caught you outside of a Starbucks and wanted to know what was up with Kanye. And you said, basically, someone needed to slap him.
Slap
some sense into him. And they were kind of like, is that racist or what?
Why? Just as a breath of fresh air, I've been an asshole. And every once in a while, you want somebody to just come over and, a bitch slap. Yeah. It's like, snap out of it. It's that scene with Cher and Nick Cage.
Right.
I know Cher. Yeah, we used to
lift. Oh, that's right. Used to lift. I mean, you were a serious item, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who had bigger hair back then?
Cher? Longer.
But it was close, right?
No, her hair was Armenian, really thick. Mine's kind of Jufro. Mm. But anyway, the point in Moonstruck, there's a scene where Nick Cage is complaining about this. She hauls off and bitch slaps him and says, snap out of it. Mm. We all need that. Kanye, I don't talk about this kind of stuff. Everybody, look, you're talking about the problems of billionaires, Kanye and the Kardashians. God bless them. Self-made, you got to tip your hat. They didn't ask anybody for a dime, and they created this wealth. Fantastic. And now somebody asked me, what's your opinion? Okay, you're asking me, so I'll tell you.
Right.
Leave her alone. She's a grown-ass woman, and she doesn't need your permission
Kim Kardashian.
To do anything.
Yes.
And by the way, when Kanye, who I think is very talented and good-looking, all that stuff, jumped up on stage when Taylor Swift won an award, she should have pushed his sorry ass off the stage. Your name is not Taylor Swift. It's my turn. They'll call your name, and I won't jump up.
Speaking of that, by the way, Kim Kardashian, I mean, this is probably something that's going to hit home with you. She got a bunch of shit a couple of weeks ago for basically saying, hey, ladies, you got to work real hard. Get up, get out, and go to work, or okay, anyone who's running a business.
I think the internet is, social media is just full of crap. Everybody's waiting for somebody to say something, especially rich, famous, beautiful people, even if they're self-made. But if somebody else, if your teacher, if your female teacher would have said this to the female population, get out there, work harder, you feel it inspirational, don't you?
Yes.
But it's just because you're jealous that she's beautiful and she's got a lot of money and all that. Call it for what it is. So the people that, you know, they need a little bit slap here and there too. We all do.
Quick break to tell you about Geico. Well, would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condos, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app for 24-hour roadside assistance and switch to Geico, because it becomes so much easier. Everything's a no-brainer when you switch to Geico. Switch today. See just how much you could save. Just go to geico.com and get a quote from your local, or you can check out your local agent, geico.com.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Kiss.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We got the Billy Joel song. It's called Sleeping with the Television On.
Yeah, I know this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good song. I'll play the first 20 seconds of it. It's the sign-off. Your mom would be crying right now. It's a kind of, it's a deep-cut Billy Joel song, but it's good. Who do you like besides Love and Spoonful?
That's an E minor that goes to
go ahead.
A to D major. Who do I like? I like all kinds of stuff. When I first came to America with my mother, I couldn't speak a word of English, and listened to the radio the whole time, and television. They were both on at the same time. I had never seen television. And there was a guy flying.
What year? I'm sorry.
1804. It was very early. I'm very old, Adam. 1958. And Superman was on. I never heard of Superman. Here's this guy flying through the air with a cape. I never imagined anything like that. And putting on the radio, I never heard of the Beatles until much later. The first music I heard was Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and all that. And all I remember is not understanding the words and starting to, you know, it just made your body move. And fast forward many years later, I was proudly asked by the Berry family to do the eulogy at Chuck Berry's funeral.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't keep it together. It was just heartbreaking. He was there in an open casket, and we had, as it happened, played at that place the day before, and they asked me to speak. I mean, what can you say? If it wasn't for Chuck, there'd be no Keith Richards or Lennon, and, you know, the guitar, the backbone of rock and roll. That's all Chuck. So what can I say? The first music I heard was black music, but because I heard that first and sort of Fats Domino, and I understood what, started to understand 1-4-5 chords were the basis of blues. Hundreds of thousands of songs have been written about that. So when I first heard the Beatles, I understood. Oh, a little Everly Brothers, a little Chuck Berry, some Motown, a little this, a little that, and you get the gestalt, that combination of stuff.
Do you remember, it just popped in my head, but you like black music and you got a good sense of humor. Remember Gene McDaniels?
Sure. He took 100 pounds of clay. You thought you'd build.
Then he said,
come on.
It was. Yeah. He's got, that's a really good one. Oh, it's kind of funny.
But he had the Jackie Wilson kind of voice. He took 100 pounds of clay. Can you play some Gene McDaniels?
Well, you got to play.
He also heard, here we go.
I'm going to sing along.
He's got that thing.
Yeah, I'll sing it. Let me have a little more level.
Ooh, he took 100 pounds of clay.
What's that? And then he said, a little louder.
Hey, listen. I'm gonna
dance just every day.
That's the second verse.
Because I know what's missing. Then he rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began.
He created a woman and a lots of loving for romance. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Just 100 pounds of clay.
100 pounds
of clay.
He made my life
worth living.
And I will thank
him every day
for every kiss.
There's that quality.
Wow. And I'll thank him every night.
Woo!
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Now, we need the lyrics up there.
And he did it all with
lots of loving.
Pounds of clay.
Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did.
Just putting the words up there.
Now, can't you just see him walking around and around?
Listen to that rhythm.
Digging the clay up off the ground.
Elvis tried to do that. Not close.
Doing just what he should do.
Where is
to
it?
Make a living dream like you.
He rolled
his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began.
He created.
You're pushing so many buttons, I want to kill myself. Look at that.
And
lots of loving
for romance.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
he did. With just 100 pounds of clay.
Kiss should cover that shit.
Of course.
You.
By the way, thanks for giving me the clap, guys.
You should do. It's
oh, I love it, Jackie Wilson.
Two Gene McDaniel songs.
I covered Jackie Wilson's "Baby Workout" in my Las Vegas big band.
Oh,
I
did really?
Oh yeah. You ever hear "Baby Workout"?
Baby Workout.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Work it.
Four octave range. This guy.
Really, Jackie. Yeah, Jackie was. There's another Gene. You got to find the other Gene McDaniel.
Tower Strength.
Tower Strength.
Tower Strength. Fantastic. With the big trombones.
Because it's funny. He's got a sense. It's self-deprecating.
Well, all these guys came from church, so they could sing. Listen to that.
If I were a tower of strength,
I'd walk away. I'd look in your eyes, and here's what I say. I don't want you. I don't need you. I don't love you anymore.
And I'd
walk out the door. You'd be down on your knees. You'd be calling to me.
But a tower of a strength is a star.
Listen.
I'll never
That's
be.
Just fucking, that rocks.
I love this song. All right, we got I don't know. I'm not sure what happened. Gene's probably been gone for a little while. But,
yeah, yeah. But there
but he was kind of Jackie Wilson-esque.
Very much. Because when you get that Kermit sound, you know,
mm-hmm.
which reminds me, what's green and smells like Miss Piggy?
I don't know what.
Kermit's finger. It's a very important... Thank you for that. Ewell?
Gene McDaniels was around until 2011. I didn't know that.
But great. These were great artists. Gene McDaniels also sang, was it with the Drifters before Benny King?
Oh, really?
Is that right?
We'll do a deep dive on Gene. But yeah, interesting that was all the music that you were
influenced by. You gotta have roots. I like the sound of a lot of new music coming up, and I don't want to sound fuddy-duddy. And I love Tame Impala and a lot of good stuff out there. No roots. You can't find a stick of like what it was. Like if it's a week old, no idea. In fact, I'll tell you my son Nick's story. He's trying to come on to a girl. She's attractive. She's got a Rolling Stones t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
the one with the tongue. And he walks up and he's trying to figure out what the opening line is. So he figures, oh, you like the Stones, huh? And she goes, yeah. I'm just repeating the story. No,
she's wearing
no
the shirt, right?
And she goes, what's that? A band? He goes, the Rolling Stones. It says the Rolling Stones on her T-shirt. No, you've never heard of the Rolling Stones? No. He goes, you know, I can't get no satisfaction. Nope, never heard of it. You never heard of Mick Jagger? She goes, oh, no, wait a minute. Mick Jagger. Yeah, the serial killer. My hand to God, I'm not making that up. They never heard of it.
The Drifters, by the way, is
Clyde McFadder, who, yeah, by the way, also has that Jackie Wilson voice. He kind of sings like this.
Mm. So your band, I was watching the doc, and was you and Paul, right, were basically in the doc.
And well, we asked Ace and Peter, who we continue to love and be, you know, have kind things to say, but they refused. It's been a lifetime for both guys of just bad decisions. You know, if you mix in alcohol and booze, they're really bad decisions. But I called them both. I said, do you want to be in the documentary? You say whatever you want. We're assholes, or it was a pleasure and all that. They refused.
Well, I guess it's Peter that seems, I don't know, well, I don't want to say worse, but who is less appreciative of the opportunity known as KISS?
It's not fair to point a finger, because everybody's got their own dynamics with life and living experiences. But anybody who is lucky enough on the face of the planet of 7.5 billion people to have more money than you could ever spend in your life, have more chicks run after you that you don't deserve because you're not that good looking. I'm talking about myself. Glory, fame, all that stuff. I don't have to do a goddamn thing, and people will give me free stuff. Where were they when I couldn't afford to get on a bus? That you wouldn't see the how blessed you are is delusional. It's criminal. And because there are so many millions of people who would kiss the ground you walk on just to be given the chance. So, for instance, we have Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, who've been with us 20 years. We've been around almost half a century. And we are quitting very soon. But Tommy and Eric show up on time. They're appreciative, professional, no drugs, no booze, nothing. And I can't say the same thing about I always want to shut my mouth, Ace, and who I love to this day, and Peter. They were every bit as important as Paul and I in forming the band, but not everybody has the DNA to run a marathon. Some people are shooting stars. They look great for a short time, and then bye-bye.
Yeah, what do you make of that? As I do spend a considerable amount of time thinking about people in this sort of, I guess you could call it self-destructive behavior. Now, I'm not talking about drug addicts. I'm saying sort of professionally. You know, I could remember early on with, I'll use Jimmy as an example, Jimmy Kimmel. People would come in and like, they'd come into his office and they're like, I'll tell that guy to fuck off. And I go like, don't do it. Why are you going to do that? You know, I'll settle his hash. It's like, no, he's good. He's going to be good for you. You know, I was like, fuck that guy. You know, it's like, I've had it done to me a lot. You've had it done to you. It's like, what is that thing where do they think that they're playing a bigger role in this than they actually are, what is it? Because a lot of people are that way.
I believe a lot of it has to do with insecurities, self-esteem issues, and a survival method, which is just, you know, it's like mom likes you best. Why do one of the kids, just like, who cares? So mom likes that one better. You'll still get fed just as much food, and you'll go to the same college and all that stuff. No, my mom likes you best, so you're always in competition. I see we have four dogs, Shannon and I, and you put some food down, they'll kill each other to get at the food. And yet, when the other dogs aren't around, I'm not hungry right now. It's just because there are other ones. And at the end of the day, we're still animals. We have not evolved. When you really think about it, what are we complaining about? You're never always going to be the center of attention. Not everybody likes Jesus either. You know, it's just like, get up. You need Cher to bitch slap you and say, get over it. But why do people do that? Even without drugs and alcohol, I see bad decisions all the time. I've made a few, so have you, so has everybody. But when you continue to make lots of bad decisions, you will hell to pay. And that's not a hairpiece that the devil wears. Hell to pay. See,
that's good.
That's what I'm talking about.
What is Cher like? I've never met Cher.
Just a wonderful Diana and Cher, most wonderful women you'd ever be.
Diana Ross.
Yes.
Oh, you dated her too.
We lived together. Yeah.
But they both have heard were handfuls.
No.
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 Not at all.
People aren't used to strong women.
Well, I feel you, but I've still heard there were handfuls.
I've heard I'm an asshole or you're an asshole or so. He is an asshole,
well,
too.
I've definitely heard you're an asshole.
Of course.
Not myself, obviously. Yeah. But so they were great to live with.
Fantastic. The ladies with capital L.
Diana Ross probably doesn't get her due for being one of the most beautiful women ever.
Well, that's how we talk about females, is first visual, not the accomplishment. Well, so when we talk about...
Yes, but I think people know her Supremes and all that she's done.
But even as a solo artist, she had more hits than almost anybody that's on the charts as a solo.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes Cher, with Sonny and Cher, lots of hits. On her own, more hits, TV shows, all that stuff. Nobody handed these women the stuff. They had to fight for it. In a man's world, the producers and the directors and the TV shows and the execs were all guys. Much harder to be a woman. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. But we don't think about it because, we're guys.
Yeah. And also, like I said, we also think when you're beautiful, you don't have to work that hard. Somehow things will come to you.
Or you're beautiful and then you get dismissed. That's all you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why... I mean, you quit modeling to do this, right?
Yeah, I slid behind the microphone, but I gave a pretty lucrative modeling career,
of course.
Mostly in European stuff. But
a hand model.
That's
a hand model, but that's not.
Yeah, she sung the theme to Mahogany. It was a big,
She won the Academy Award
for that.
And how Lady Sings the Blues.
Yeah. Was it intentional that you wanted to be with a woman that was had
no.
a stature?
No, I didn't want any girlfriends. I was an asshole. I didn't want to be asked, where are you going? Where am I going? Who wants to know? I completely self-centered. It wasn't until I met Shannon, and we've been together 38 years.
Wow.
I've been around a long time. I'm an old guy. But... it wasn't until I met Shannon that I started to think about, it's time to grow up. I mean, when you think about it from a guy's point of view, and maybe women sort of say, oh. So guys grow up in a household, if they're lucky, and there's a mom, if you're lucky, and you can't wait to get out from under the skirt where nobody's telling you what to do, eat your vegetables, don't eat all that stuff. Soon as you grow up to a certain point, you go out on your own, what happens? You meet a girlfriend or you get married and then
back
again to where you're going, be home by 10 o'clock and all that. And a lot of guys, especially with testosterone running through their veins, I would say the vast majority rebel against that. They're not mature enough to handle, okay, this makes sense. This is right. I'm not going to drink. It doesn't make sense. By the way, to all of you who like to get high and drink and do all this and even smoke cigarettes, I would understand that if that stuff made my schmeckle much bigger, I would understand that. I'd do that. For those of you who are not of the chosen persuasion, schmeckle is what's between your legs, the male of the species. If it made you smarter or richer and stuff, I would understand that. Oh, okay, if you do that stuff, you get that. Nothing happens. In fact, it costs money. If you drink too much, your schmeckle won't work. You'll probably throw up on their shoes.
They call it whiskey schmeckle.
They call a whiskey schmeckle?
They call it whiskey schmeckle.
Whiskey schmeckle.
That means it won't
work. In L.A., not in Nebraska, my friend.
Well, I drink to forget about my small schmeckles.
See? I've never been drunk in my life.
Yeah, we hang out.
Why?
After the
Why?
Well, would you want to go to the grave? And if you do, you can give yourself a discount on a Kiss casket. But
we do sell them.
Never knowing what it feels like.
Which genius came up with the ideas? How do you know if you don't experience it? What, I have to get shot by a gun to know what it's going to feel like? No, you know it's not good for you.
Yeah, I agree.
I like, even if you didn't, it just is my truth. My life is too, not only precious, but I like being sane and being in control. The idea of numbing myself and not knowing where I was and waking up with a headache and throwing up on my new shirt, what about that is appealing?
Well, with Ace and Peter in the band,
I didn't
that had
do
to be insane. I'm not. I mean, you know, some bands, everyone parties. Some bands, everyone parties and then everyone gets sober.
In my patois, parties means chasing skirt. The other stuff is just numbing.
Were you able to lay off the skirt chasing with the living with Cher and living with Diana Ross?
No, I was a bad boy in those days.
But
you and I went through this thing with Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, with the truth thing and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you
Oh, no, I'm done. As a matter of fact, I took my Schmeckle and put it into a formaldehyde jar, and it's hanging over the fireplace.
Well, we can break it in case of emergency.
You can break it in case of emergency. I would wear it on your head like a unicorn.
Would fetch on eBay, I could make some serious money with Gene Simmons' Schmeckle on eBay. But
how are you making money off of my Schmeckle?
I would. All right. So
I didn't start it,
you
right?
You couldn't keep your Schmeckle in your pants even though you had these relationships with these very substantial women.
Because, see, being in a band where there's a lot of money and lots of chicks is like being in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going on. You don't know yourself until you come out of it. And then your perspective is, oh, it's like Jekyll and Hyde. Oh, I was a different person, and I did those things fully believing. If you listen to Leah Remini, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right.
Leah Remini,
and she
Scientology.
Talks, yeah. L. Ron Hubbard, 1948, the Algonquin Hotel, the Mystery Writers of America. They had a bet with Damon Knight, a science fiction writer, who could write a book that was more utopian and all that. And Damon Knight went off and wrote one, and Dianetics was L. Ron Hubbard. And
wow.
He won the prize and created a big business. And there were other things about boys. And that's another story.
Oh.
No.
So, like, how old were you when Kiss really
56.
blew up? I mean, Kiss was a huge part of my childhood. When it really hit its hardest. You were still a mid-20s, late 20s?
We started 73-74 New Year's Eve at the Academy of Music, fourth on the bill.
And you were how old at this point?
56. No, I was 23. Paul was much younger. Mm-hmm. Paul was 19.
Wow.
Yeah. And and Peter was older. Peter was older by 3 years, I think. But within a year and a half of forming the band, we're headlining Anaheim Stadium. This is before cell phones. This is before voicemail or any of that stuff. It just, before MTV, it just spread. We had no hit records. We didn't have any hit singles. Just what the Germans called Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
It just became the water cooler conversation. Did you ever see those guys? Nobody knows what they look like. Are they from another planet? Ad infinitum, ad nauseum. And we'd sell out stadiums, bang. In 1977, 78, and 1979, we were the number one Gallup poll group on the planet, ahead of a group called the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, and the Bee Gees.
Do you feel like your music, you personally, just sort of your acumen for music is underrepresented by people? Like they think of you as an act. They think of you as a personality. You know, they don't know you can sing Gene McDaniel songs.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No. Once you don't have to flip burgers or dig ditches for a living, what are you going to complain about? Oh, I wish they only knew that I... So I've been lucky enough to have... I didn't know I could paint and everything, so during the pandemic, I took up painting, and I had a big art show at the largest art gallery in Las Vegas. It was big stuff, a lot of money. Gene, you always talk about money. Well, yeah. And TV shows, we had our reality show that lasted 167 episodes and 8 seasons, and a partridge and a pear tree. Just on and on. I have a restaurant chain partnered two at LAX and all across America. And now we're opening 3 Rock and Brews casinos.
Right.
Now going into casinos. I mean, everywhere I turn into artificial intelligence company called Noble, Alaska Cold Storage, a lot of stuff that I don't pretend to understand fully. And I'm going to complain about what?
Yeah, it's a good mindset.
Now, and then you die. So sit back, enjoy the ride, because you're not in control, buddy.
Yeah.
You're on a roller coaster ride and somebody else is pressing the buttons.
Gearing up for the tour, is it a lot of rehearsal?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you're kind of a are you a perfectionist?
No, there's no such thing. No, I am not. Because there have been times, and I've spoken to other guys and other bands and everything, there are times you walk off the stage and kind of go, boy, we weren't so good. And then the fans write, that's the best you've ever been. Why don't you play like that all the time? And then sometimes you think, boy, were we good tonight. And, you know, it comes out, I don't know, that it could be a little better. So you just work here. Your bosses, if you're lucky, are standing on the seats on their seats and going nuts at the concerts while you blow everything up. You don't know. And the best thing you can do is to psych yourself up and go in there and just give it all, which is why I need to be off that stage before I turn 75. I'm not BB King. I got to walk around with 40 pounds of armor, studs and all that, dragon boots that weigh as much as a bowling ball on each leg. You can't do that when you're 75. I mean, I don't want to say I wish I was Keith Richards, but conceptually, yes, you wear sneakers and a T-shirt, and I worship the guy. Nice, comfortable pair of jeans, and every once in a while, strum the guitar. You don't have to do it all the time. Ron Wood's right there. Just strum, enjoy the ride, play stadiums.
Right.
Good way to make a living. But you're not going to have heart palpitations. I do.
Yeah.
So if you take Mick or Bono or anybody and stick them into my outfit, they'd pass out in a half hour. Not because they're not great and iconic, but because the physical wear and tear, you can't do it. And we can't do it forever. And because of that, get off the stage. I mean, if I was a surfboard guy and the tsunami's coming, that's the one I want to ride. And then thank you very much.
Well, it's the last one. Kiss, end of the road world tour. Dates coming up in the U.S. and the world, and tickets at kissonline.com. Gene Simmons, the website, genesimmons.com. Gene, I always love talking to you because I just find it, just the fact that you know Gene McDaniels and know the words to those songs, just makes me laugh.
Why wouldn't, that would be a good piece of advice for a lot of people entering music. Just because you sing in the shower doesn't mean you should be on American Idol. Wait. No, actually, that's why a lot of people go on American Idol.
Right.
And the voice and everything. I can sing. Cool. But if Hendrix went on, oh, shucks. He wouldn't make it. You think Bob, once upon a time, just so, and Bob and I have written some songs together, I'm proud to say. You think Bob would make it on The Voice?
No.
No. Madonna? Not a chance.
No. They were all unconventional talents.
But stars.
But stars.
And that goes back to Maurice Chevalier. Mm-hmm. Gigi. They could barely sing.
Mm.
But you cannot, you can teach people, here's how to sing, here's how to warm up. You can do that. You cannot teach charisma and stagecraft. You just sort of have it or you don't. And it probably helps to have a loose screw. Something, because predominantly people don't want to be judged. Now imagine that one person in the crowd who wants to go up on stage and be seen head to toe, you know, when they're 12 and just belt it out. Me, how I love it. Right there. You know, some people are going to say you stink and all that, but they just brave all that because they got to do it.
Yeah, and you got to do it.
They just get over it because it's some hunger that they didn't know they had. And the ones that do it when they were kids, they never give up. When I was probably 5, In Israel, we didn't have a lot of stuff there. You know, it was just my mom and I. And I remember some aunt came over who I never saw after that. And I remember she looked like a clown because the makeup, her lipstick was painted way over her lips, if you can imagine that. And I was wearing oversized underwear or pajama, you know, where the slit was wide open. And if I bend over a little bit, you can see right through and see the little birdie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what possessed me, but I jumped on the coffee table and started, you know, acting foolish and dancing. And my aunt was laughing her head off. And my mother quickly took me off the coffee table because apparently as I was tap dancing or jumping up and down, my birdie kept coming in and out of the
cage,
you know, out of that nest. Little thing. Yeah. And that was hilarious. And she came over to me and it was a horrific sight seeing these big red lips coming on my face. And then afterwards, I thought I was bleeding. I looked in the mirror and my face was covered with this red thing. Was
she kissing you?
Good Lord, I hope she wasn't trying to eat me. That came later in life, Adam.
But so you just had that performance. You had that in you, always.
I believe it had to do with being an only child. I believe it had to do with, I don't want to say being abandoned, because I wouldn't. I had my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a hunger, there was a need to be loved or admired. Yes, that is a great impetus, a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, look, here you are, you're talking every day, and somebody's going to have something to say about it. But if you love this so much, it doesn't matter. You got to do it.
No, I agree. I think perspective, come from somewhere, understand what real people do in the real world.
And be comfortable in your own skin.
And either be comfortable in your own skin or grow to be comfortable in your own skin.
Or fake it till you make it. Yeah. And by the way, be delusional. I remember when I first heard Muhammad Ali, who was then Cassius Clay, I'll never forget it. I am the greatest. And I thought, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Well, that's precisely the point. Who do you think you are? He decided for himself that he was the greatest.
Yeah, he would say, I must be the greatest.
He can't. He's not waiting for somebody else to give him kudos.
No, he would keep screaming, I am the greatest. I must be the greatest. And I'm so good looking. And
tell yourself.
The announcer was yelling at him, you're not that good looking.
He goes, no. Yeah, you got to do that. Because, by the way, somebody else pointed out, a motivational speaker, that as you're speaking, your ears can hear that. So in the same way that a guy who's about to walk the tightrope, or a gal's about to walk the tightrope, psych yourself up. Tell yourself, I'm not going to fall. I can do this and all that. And the champions do that, whether you're playing tennis or a boxer or in the military. Before you go in there, psych yourself up. Don't say bad stuff. Your ears are hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, and certainly your brain is forming what you're saying. Gene, always a pleasure. Come back anytime you like.
How about tomorrow?
Or sleep over.
Okay.
All right. We'll do a couple of shots after the show. Gene Simmons, you know the tour. You got it all. And kissonline.com. And are you guys playing in L.A. somewhere? Or
eventually. It's not the most important city.
I know. But when you do, I'd love to
do
come
you know
by.
How? Do you know how to say Serbus?
Serbus.
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 Holy shit. That's horrible.
I'm
Serbus. That's Hungarian. Serbus.
I know a neophyte pupnuck, a puppy five on neophyte puppy people, puppy five. It's a limerick my grandfather taught me.
Neophyte puppy five?
The fucking priest has a wooden pipe.
Holy crap.
All right.
I'm not going to touch that with yours.
And Wheeler Walker and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Go to amcroll.com for all the live shows. Oh, and Dawson. That's right. Saturday, 7:30. Going to be over at Flappers in Burbank, the Yoo-Hoo Room. And go out and support our good friend Dawson. Flapperscomedy.com. Until next time, Adam for Gene, not Gene McDaniels, saying mahalo.
Have you ever been licked by a hick with a hillbilly dick or got a rash on your snatch from some trailer trash?
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free. Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free.